Welcome to the Man in the Mirror Bible Study Podcast. Today we're continuing our series, looking at the spiritual disciplines. Next up, a man in service. Our speaker is Brett Klemmer, president of Man in the Mirror.
Anybody help somebody move? Has anybody done it more than twice? Wow, these are the warriors in the room helping somebody else move. Usually you'll do it once, and then the second time you'll figure, well, it can't be as bad as last time. And it is, and then you go help somebody move. Yeah, so why am I talking about moving? Well, because I was trying to think of mundane examples of how we serve each other. How do we serve each other? And the thing I could think of was helping somebody move. So how many, I don't know about you guys, but when I help somebody move, I like to be the guy in the truck. I don't care how hot it is. I just want to be the guy that plays Tetris and like fits everything in the truck. And nothing frustrates me more than at the very beginning when you got to start carrying stuff out and somebody else jumps in the truck and they just start stacking stuff in there willy-nilly. And you're like, this person needs to get out of my way. Because this truck, we're going to take three trucks at the rate this guy's going. And so I kindly kick them out of the truck and then take my position. Any other Packers? You guys you like to play the Tetris, right? I love that. We are in our series, A Man's Guide to the Spiritual Disciplines. And today we're talking about a man and service. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I think for most of us, and especially for Christian men, serving, when somebody sort of, you think about it in the future, like, oh, somebody needs this, or I need to go do that, sometimes there's a little resistance to it. But once you've done something, once you've served, once you've, like, helped somebody move, or once you've, you know, gone on a volunteer project and put a playground in, and that feeling that you get, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? Like, there's a good feeling that you get when you've helped somebody do something, when you've made a difference in somebody's life or made an impact. And so why do you think that is? What is it about serving that makes us feel good? Anyone? Yeah. Okay, so you get affirmation afterwards. That's good. Anything else? That's good. You feel like you're doing God's work for him. Takes your mind off of your own troubles. These are great answers. Well, I think part of the reason that serving sort of touches some kind of part of our heart or some part of our soul is frankly, there's a deeper purpose to our serving. There's something intrinsic in serving, especially for a Christian man, that makes it appealing to us. And I think for one thing, when you are a Christian, when you have Christ in you, when you have the Spirit of God in you, you're a new creation, right? And you are unified with Christ. And one of the ways that we're unified with Christ is when we suffer for the cause of the gospel. But another way that we're unified with Christ is when we serve like Jesus did. And we feel that connection. There's a part of our heart and soul affected by the regeneration of our hearts. And so let's look at, the first thing we're going to look at then is what the Bible calls the suffering servant. So Jesus in Isaiah 52 is called the suffering servant. So it's interesting you get this two sides of what I was just talking about, the suffering part, but you also get the servant part here. So if you have a Bible, turn to Isaiah 52, and we're going to look at the passage is Isaiah 52:13 to 53:12. I'm not going to read that whole thing. It's too much. But let me just read a couple of verses here about Jesus, starting in 52:13. He says, "Behold, my servant shall act wisely." So this is a prophecy foretelling the coming of Christ. "He shall be high and lifted up. He shall be exalted. And many were astonished at you. His appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind." And so you get this this prophetic picture of Christ, the servant of God, but he's beaten, he's marred, his appearance is marred, foreshadowing his brutal beating and suffering. And then if you go over into chapter 13, you can see verse 4, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." And so you see this idea of a servant, of the servant of God, being willing to be sacrificial, to even put his own life and safety, his own safety, first of all, his own comfort completely cast aside, and his very life taken from him. Why? He was pierced for our transgressions. And so I think one of the things about serving that touches that part of our hearts is that we do it, even if we don't realize that, we do it out of gratitude for what Christ did for us. Of course we can serve somebody. Of course we can help somebody out. Of course we can be a little bit sacrificial because Christ made that ultimate sacrifice. And Christ himself gives us a great example of what service looks like. Turn over in your Bibles to John chapter 13, and you see the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. How many of you have heard the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet? Right? Most of you have heard this. So Jesus is in the upper room with the disciples, and he's teaching them. And so there is this tradition, or this cultural tradition, where when people came into a house and they had been wearing sandals and walking on dusty roads, their feet would be filthy. And so there would be a person, a servant typically, who would come and take a basin of water and a towel, and they would wash the feet of the guests that were coming into the banquet or the home or whatever. And it was, I mean, you're washing somebody's feet, right? It's not like, oh, can I be the feet washer today? Like, nobody was volunteering for that job. It was a servant's job. It was a lowly job. The lowest person in the room would probably get that responsibility, or somebody that was hired to do it. And so you see now Jesus taking on this role. So he says in John 13, starting at the beginning of the chapter, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him," Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. Verse 3, "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper." He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. So you have some guests over to your house. Think about this. Next time you have some guests over your house, you go strip down to your skivvies, put a towel around your waist, and then come back out to your guests and say, "Hey, can I wash your feet for you?" Like, that's wild, isn't it? And you might think, well, that was the culture of the day. That was a normal thing. No, not for Jesus, not for the rabbi. Jesus had the highest status in the room. He was the one who most should be served. And yet he took on this role. It says he laid aside his outer garments, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around them. It's wild. And you know, Peter gets upset. He's like, "You shouldn't be doing this." And Jesus is like, "I'm going to do this, or you're not in the club anymore." And so Simon, typical of reaction, says, "Well, like, just pour the bowl over my head, basically wash everything I got. If you're washing my feet, you got to wash the rest of me." And Jesus is like, "Calm down, Peter. You don't need to do that." And then in verse 12, he says, "When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, 'Do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am.'" And so we see this word Lord, I think, and we just sort of brush over it, but like, Lord, like, you call me Lord. So your Lord is putting a towel around his waist and washing your feet. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. And then he says, truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who is sent him. So a servant is not greater than his master. And so you're calling me Lord, you're calling me master, and I'm doing this. You're not greater than me. So you need to do this too. And so Jesus is serving and he's showing his submission. And so why should we serve? We serve because we have the example of Christ. And if you turn over one more verse, turn over to Romans 12:3. And Paul emphasizes this at the beginning of sort of talking about how we in the body of Christ are supposed to treat each other. And he says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And then he goes on to say, but think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So we serve because our Lord is the suffering servant, because we follow a master who says, I'm going to give you my example. Part of what I am teaching you to do, part of what I am teaching you that's right, is to serve each other. And so our big idea is this, that a servant is someone who goes where Jesus would go to do what Jesus would do. A servant is someone who goes where Jesus would go to do what Jesus would do. And this is right out of the book. This is right out of A Man's Guide to Spiritual Disciplines. So we serve because Christ served. Let me give you another interesting thing to think about, and that is this, that we need to get in the game. Like, serving helps us to get in the game of the Christian life. It's, if you're a bored Christian, if you're like going through the motions, if you're going to church on Sunday and maybe in a small group or something, and you're just sort of going through the motions, showing up when you're supposed to show up, you've got a Friday morning men's deal that you go to, but it's not really affecting your life and you're bored, serving is the antidote to Christian boredom. In fact, I know we look at this verse, we look at James 2:17, and you know, the faith without works is dead, or the ESV says, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And I think sometimes we think of this as kind of a judgy verse, like, oh, faith without works is dead, Christian, you should. But I think it's actually supposed to be an encouraging verse too. Let me give you an example. Let's say you played on a football team, all right? And all you ever got to do on this football team is you went to practice and you sat in the locker room and you heard all the speeches, you heard all the, and you went into the, you whatever position you were in, you went and met with those guys in that position and you watched film together and you studied stuff and you had all the scouting reports and you did all the work, right? You attended all the meetings, but you never actually played in the game. You're like, you got the uniform, but you're not actually playing in the game. And I don't know about you, how many of you have been on sports teams? Like the bench sucks, right? Like, who likes to sit on the bench? But so many of us in the Christian life, we bench ourselves. We say, oh, well, I'm going to go to the meetings. I'm going to go to the classes. I'm going to wear the uniform. I'm going to go hang out with other players, but I'm not actually going to play the game. Because, I mean, somebody might hit me. I might get tackled. I might get knocked over. I might make a mistake and get a penalty called on me. And so we live these boring, lukewarm lives because we won't go and actually participate in the work of building the kingdom of God. And serving other people is part of the work of the kingdom of God. And so that's what I want to encourage you guys to do. Like, if you look at your life and you realize you're going to the meetings, but you're not playing in the game, go find someone to serve. Again, the big idea, serving is someone who goes where Jesus would go to do what Jesus would do. So then how do we do this? How do we develop the mindset of a servant? How do we like get into the habit of serving, get into the sort of the predisposition to serve? And I think the first thing is to think about is, what are your motivations for serving? What do you need to do? So these verses are not going to be on the screen. If you've got your Bible, it's going to be a little Bible drill time here, a little sword drill. So I'm going to start in Psalm 23. So listen to this. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. So the first thing to think about is you want to serve God out of the overflow. You don't want to be like so, and this is not a widespread problem, all right? I don't want anybody to think like, oh man, I better not serve too much or my cup might be empty. Not a widespread problem, all right? Most of us have cups that frankly are overflowing, and we're just letting everything slosh over the sides. We're not serving, we're not taking all of that blessing that we get and sharing that with others and serving, but our cup overflows. Now, there are times in your life when you are tired. There are times in your life where you are, you know, downtrodden. And those are the times, frankly, that you need to be served. You need people to come alongside you and speak into your life. And that's a blessing for those people to allow them to do that. But most of the time, we are all living our lives with overflow happening all around us. And we need to be to look how can we share that overflow with others. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 10. We know Ephesians 2:8-9 very well, but Ephesians 2:10 says this: we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Listen to this, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. So not only is serving good for you, not only should you do it out of the overflow, but actually God's prepared the works for you to do in advance. He's got a plan for your life, and that plan includes serving. Another reason to serve is to grow in your faith. Think about, though, I was reading a little bit about this. Think about the wedding at Cana, right? Think about this, like, do you realize that most people didn't know anything was going on? Most people hadn't, I mean, they just got good wine a little bit after they expected to. But think about the servants who went and filled those jars with water and got to see it turn into wine. Think about how their faith was grown. And one of my favorite things about that story is at the very end, it says, and then the disciples believed. Like, what? You've been with him? You've been walking around with him? He made you drop your nets and follow him? So what does that mean? Did they not believe before? No, as they participated with Jesus, as they watched him do his miracles, as they served with him, it grew their faith and grew their faith and grew their faith. Until at the end, 11 or 10 of the 12, one kills himself, right? Judas. But 10 of the other 11 die martyrs' deaths because their faith was so strong that they would rather die than denounce him. And John would have died if he had been called to, but ended up on an island in exile. So we serve out of the overflow. We serve to fulfill our purpose. We serve to grow our faith. And we also serve to bring God glory. If you're in Ephesians, just turn over a couple of pages over to Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians 3:17 says this: whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then if you skip down to verse 23, he says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. So we serve not to bring ourselves glory, not even to get credit, but we serve to bring God glory. When an unbelieving neighbor says, why are you helping me? You can say, I'm helping you because I'm a Christian. Because Christ has done so much for me, I just want to share some of that with you. And they're going to look at you like you have three heads. And that's okay. But eventually they're going to ask you more and more questions and start those gospel conversations. Your service can start gospel conversations. And then finally, turn over to Matthew verse 20. I'm sorry, chapter 20, verse 28. And listen to this. We're going to go back to the example of Christ again. In Matthew 20:28, he says, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So once again, how do we develop the mindset of a servant? We serve out of the overflow. We serve recognizing that it's fulfilling our purpose, that it grows our faith, that it brings God glory, and that it's a way that we can imitate Christ. We are like Christ when we serve other people. So then finally, how can we serve? What are some practical ways that you can serve? And now, sometimes I hear this from people. Well, you know, I don't have the gift of hospitality. I don't have the gift of mercy. Well, that just means it's not as easy for you. It doesn't mean you don't get to do it. It doesn't mean you can't practice hospitality. It doesn't mean you can't practice mercy. These are practical things that we can do to serve others. And in our church that Dylan and I both go to, we got a ton of college students. And I got to tell you, there's nothing hungrier than a college-age young man. Like, those guys, all I have to do is, like, mention food and guys will show up for stuff, right? And my wife has these young women that are often away from home for the very first time, and they need a college mom. They need someone that can just be there to give them a hug when they need it and to talk about the dumb boy that broke their heart or whatever. And these are easy ways that we can serve. Easy ways that you can serve is look for people that need friendship, that need hospitality, that are alone and lonely. These are ways that you can practically serve other people. If you can share your resources. I've got a friend who's got a lot of nice stuff, but one of the great things about him is he's constantly sharing those things with other people. He looks at himself as a steward, not as an owner. And so he thinks with all these things that he has, how can I serve other people? How can I help other people have a good time or have a better life? You can look for more organized things like service projects. Maybe your church does service projects or there's a volunteer organization. I used to work for the Coalition for the Homeless, and we had constantly had groups coming in from churches to make our playground or cook meals for the folks that lived in our shelter, volunteering to participate in those things. And then finally, one of the things that I really encourage you to do is if you've not been on a short-term mission trip, go on a short-term mission trip. Find a way to get some time off. If you're working, find some time off from working. If not, but find most churches, a lot of churches can connect you with a short-term mission trip. So I never, ever talked to a person that went on a mission trip and went to a place that was, especially when you go to places that are impoverished, and you realize all the gifts that God has given you, and you see the joy that people who honestly have nothing or close to nothing, the joy that they have, it's encouraging, it's inspiring to your own heart, and you're going there to serve. And then just look for those practical everyday things you can do. The friend that needs a ride to the airport, the difficult person in your office that just needs someone to be kind to them, or the difficult person in your family, hopefully extended family so you don't have to see them all the time, that just needs somebody to be kind to them. How can you serve those people? And then finally, just look for someone who needs help moving. There's probably a verse in here somewhere about helping people move, like, right? It feels like it's a sanctifying activity to help somebody move. But it's a great example of how we can practically look around us to our brothers and sisters inside the church and to the world outside of our church. And we can show the love of Christ. We can spread the gospel. We can bring glory to God by being a man of service. Once again, the big idea, a servant is someone who goes where Jesus would go to do what Jesus would do. Let's pray. Well, Father, we are fickle human beings. We often see things that we know are good, and yet we don't do them because it's just an imposition. It just takes effort for us to get out of our comfort zone. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give each of us such a deep desire to build your kingdom by serving people, to show the love of Christ by imitating Christ, by being willing to humble ourselves, Jesus, like you did when you stooped down on the floor, you knelt on the floor and washed your disciples' dirty, stinky feet. Lord, would you give us that heart for each other? Would you give us that heart for our brothers and sisters, Lord, that you might receive all the glory? So we lift this up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can find the Man in the Mirror Bible Study wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as on our YouTube page. If you have found this helpful, please subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and share the podcast with friends. Since 1986, Man in the Mirror has been teaching the Bible, helping us reflect deeply as men and apply God's truth to our lives. This Bible study is recorded in front of a live audience every Friday morning outside of Orlando, Florida. If you need help navigating your life or leading other men, please go to maninthemirror.org and check out our vast library of Bible study videos, blogs, and articles on Christian growth and leadership. There are plenty of resources you can use to grow in your faith and help others grow too. At maninthemirror.org, you will find books written just for men, helpful materials for your church's ministry to men, and even a potential career in men's discipleship. If you're a man personally struggling in life, or you need help in discipling men, please send us an email at biblestudy@maninthemirror.org and let us know how we can help.